I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your host, Marina, and joining me today...
Colleen353Review.
DaleDigitalDoodles.com.
Seems like it's been a while since we've gotten together, eh?
It's because it has been a while.
Has it been? No, it's only been like a week.
14 hours and 7... I don't know.
We just haven't been done like movies together for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Actually, it's weird. We saw each other so often at VIFF. For about the first 2 weeks, I kept on going, what's wrong? Something's wrong.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I didn't see Marina today. Yeah, I had
Marina.
Yeah, I had sort of the same feeling. So before we get started, just a couple of announcements. Be sure to come on by Row 3 for movie news and reviews. And check the show notes because we're going to have links to a bunch of different things. Also a reminder that the Movie Club podcast for this month is up. Or I should say for this session because it's not really monthly. And we discussed Soylent Green and The Insider. And I actually listened to the show and it's very funny.
Soylent Green rules.
Well, and they had Reed Farrington come in to do like a special guest appearance because apparently it's his favorite movie. And he actually brought a lot to the conversation. It made it hysterically funny. I wish I could have joined them. And they've picked the movies for next month, which was a bit of a surprise for me because I hadn't actually seen them. So we're watching Night of the Creeps and Gremlins 2, which now means I also need to watch Gremlins 1.
Do you have Night of the Creeps?
Yes, I do. Oh, Colleen's giving me the eye. Apparently,
the coveting eye.
Yeah, apparently it's fairly hard to find, but I do have a copy.
Nice.
That was procured for me. I didn't actually have to find it myself. It's very special. I also want to just quickly mention something that's going to come up later in December, actually, but we'll sort of let you in on a little secret. Ages 3 and Up, which is a local hobby shop, kids toy store collector shop. I have no idea exactly what their title is. But they're doing a Christmas screening of Die Hard.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, it's very exciting. On the big screen, this is actually going to be very cool. So mark your calendar. It'll be December the 15th. Once we have more details, we'll pass them along to you. But for now, all I can tell you is that it's coming, so look for it.
They should do a doubleheader with The Ref.
Oh, that would be actually really cool, because I don't know if I haven't seen The Ref, I don't think.
We watched it last year.
Oh, we did. We watched it last year?
Yeah, when we did our Christmas.
Yeah.
Our Christmas.
I vaguely remember seeing it, but,
well,
you know.
Dale loves that film.
It's one of my traditions.
I remember loving the film, but not really cluing into the fact it was a Christmas film. I was like, good God. This is awesome.
It's funny how things sort of like creep up on you.
Well, yeah. It's Dennis Leary. He's an asshole.
Yes.
Lodio.
I vaguely remember the title of The Ref, and I thought, you know, I know I'm supposed to watch that, and I couldn't remember if I'd seen it or not. Obviously, I don't remember very much of it, so I may need to see it again.
We will force you to watch. You will be assimilated.
That's okay. Assimilation is good. Mm-hmm. And actually, today we're not here for such a happy occasion, are we? news today that Michael Crichton died at 66. So we're going to just talk about the writer, director, screenwriter, man about town. I don't know. He has a lot of hats.
We sort of just suddenly realized that he'd done a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And the fact that he has director credits. I had no idea. He was just a writer, and I figured screenwriter, fine.
Yeah.
So this is from Wikipedia, so errors, if there are any errors in what you hear here, go to Wikipedia and fix them.
Yeah, enlighten us, Dale.
So, according to Wikipedia, the movies, or the books, his novels that were adapted into films start back in 1971 with The Andromeda Strain. Dealing or the Berkeley to Boston 40 Brick Lost Bag Blues. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, that's a bad title.
The Carey Treatment, Terminal Man, 1990, that was 1974. Then we jumped to 1993, Rising Sun. That was with Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery.
All I remember is the DVD cover.
Yeah. Jurassic Park, which you should remember a bit better than...
Yes.
Disclosure, Congo, The Lost World, Jurassic Park. Well, that's interesting. Oh, Lost World, that was a follow-up, wasn't it?
Yes.
Sphere.
Give us the line.
Is it Dustin Hoffman and his big bowl?
Sharon Stone's in there, too.
Yeah.
The 13th Warrior, based on his book Eaters of the Dead. Timeline, and they're crediting him with the TV miniseries Andromeda Strain. Yeah, we knew about that. Now, films, this is even more surprising, actually, as we discovered. Wrote and directed, motion pictures that he wrote and directed, Westworld.
Which is like, that's like a favorite of mine, and I had no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea either.
Yul Brynner. Yul Brynner. How can you miss?
Well, and
you can miss.
And that's coming up for a remake. I remember hearing something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there was Westworld. Okay, we'll get that in a sec.
Oh, sorry.
So that was 73 Westworld, 1978 Coma with Bennett. Bougeot. Okay.
Difficult name to pronounce.
Yeah, it's gone. So Coma, The First Great Train Robbery, Looker, Runaway, Physical Evidence. He has a Jurassic Park. We mentioned that. Everybody knows about ER. And another surprise for me, he was also co-wrote Twister.
Oh, okay.
The screenplay.
Yeah. I actually didn't know he did anything on ER.
Oh, yeah, I never watched ER.
Creator, writer, executive, producer.
Oh, okay.
That comes up in fairly often in some of the intros that I've read. Yeah, so Westworld and Jurassic Park are both. Westworld has been announced for 2009 and Jurassic Park 4 for 2010.
Because, you know, they need more dinosaurs.
Yeah, we need more dinosaurs.
Well, yeah.
Well, but I think, you know, the first time I saw Westworld, because I'd never seen it, and Dan's like, okay, you have to see this movie. It's awesome. And so we rented it. Rogers actually had a copy of Westworld. And I was blown away. I thought, holy crap, this is a really good little movie. And I was surprised nobody had gone ahead to, I mean, if there was one movie that needed remaking, I mean, yeah. The technology would be ripe for remaking Westworld.
Well, I remember seeing that on TV as a kid. And mm-hmm. I mean, I was glued. It was... At the time, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Now, like you say, it really holds the test of time quite well. But
yeah, it does. Especially the story, I think, is what really what's really captivating. And I mean, the effects, some of it is a little cheesy, but I mean, the basic idea behind it is really good. And like I say, the technology is there that they could make a really great adaptation of that.
Unlike the two of you, I don't want them to touch Westworld at all.
You like the cheesy goodness?
I love the cheesy goodness. It's like when they destroyed Death Race. I have no confidence in them doing a good homage. They're just going to fuck it up.
Well, I don't know. For me, there are some movies that, like, I don't have so much of an issue with the remake of Death Race, even though it's not a very good remake, and it totally, like, throws out the window.
They shouldn't have called it Death Race.
No, exactly. You know,
Running Man 2.
That would have been more appropriate.
It would have been more appropriate. But, you know, there are some movies that I kind of look back and I think, you know, I would like to see an updated version of that. And Westworld's definitely up there, as is Logan's Run. I don't know why, but I want to see a new version of Logan's
Run.
Don't
touch perfection, man.
Perfection.
I would actually like to see them do Logan's Run truer to the novel.
And I still haven't read the novel, so I'm not sure. We have vampires living
upstairs.
Moving
the coffins upstairs.
But, you know, I knew Crichton mostly as a writer, and I knew that he'd written, you know, things that had been adapted into screenplays, but I didn't realize there was that much until we started going down the list. And it's kind of like, holy smokes, I've seen a lot of these.
Yeah. So top three or top five?
I'm going to make top three.
Top three?
I'm going to make a prediction, though. All three of our top threes will be the same, just in different orders.
Oh, you think so?
Maybe we
should make it a top five. I don't know. That's going to be kind of hard to squeeze in the last two.
Five would actually be
difficult.
I don't think I have five favorite. I mean, most of the stuff Crichton did, I enjoyed, but I mm-hmm. wouldn't put on a top list. There's just a couple that.
Okay, I think we should do top three then.
Okay, top three.
Start with your number three, Colleen.
My number three would be Jurassic Park, just for the utter coolness back in the day. Now, not so much, but I remember seeing that when it first came out, went, that's cool.
You looked at my list. My number three is also Jurassic Park. She's giving me that.
Okay,
is your number three too?
I want to give an honorable mention to Andromeda Strain.
Oh, that didn't make your list.
I'm wrong.
Wow. Well, no, actually didn't. I have a hard time putting things in order. So, you know, if we'd done a top four, but I Andromeda Strain was a great movie, but I think by today's standards, the original movie is maybe a little bit slow. It still holds. Actually, what amazes me is it was when it was rebroadcast for a bazillion times in a row by one of the channels for when they did the TV miniseries. Mm. It holds up really, really well. I was actually quite surprised at how well, but yeah, by today's standards, it's kind of like a little bit slow.
Hmm. I disagree, but okay.
Okay.
But okay. So giant dinosaur is number three on our list. What's number three on your list?
Number three on my list is Westworld.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is going to be brutal.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting, she says.
Not really.
I refrain from commenting because it might come up on my list. Just might.
Oh, okay. Number two for me is Westworld.
Oh, jeez. It's like some incestuous older sister.
Like I said, Dale's the only one I think now that's going to contrast because he has something that's not on our two lists.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
My number two is actually not Westworld. My number two is actually The Andromeda Strain. Because I do think it holds up really well. And again, it's a great story as well. If I had to make a choice between The Andromeda Strain and, for some reason, Congo always seems to come up for me as well. Maybe because it also includes like a virus kind of thing.
I haven't actually seen Congo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just held no. I mean, that's the one with the intelligent gorillas or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it.
Now you're making me second guess my Andromeda Strain.
Don't second guess yourself.
You should second guess yourself.
Dale, your number two.
My number two is Twister.
Ah, yes, the flying cow.
Flying cow. Well, and actually, my favorite Twister story, I get to tell it now.
Yeah.
I forget who it is, but one of the animators who was working on the farm, Lucas's special effects team.
Okay.
Was really pissed off that they were doing basically these cheesy animations and like the flying cow. And he referred to it as digital masturbation. Oh. And he apparently was kicked out of the team. So he named his company Kicked Off the Ranch.
You don't fuck around. Masturbation.
Digital masturbation, yeah.
Oh, there is a great story there. I love that.
I hope I didn't totally slay it. If someone actually knows how accurate that is or can name the dude, but I'm pretty sure it's a true story.
It's probably in that book that I have at home that I still have.
There you go,
read.
Yeah.
Read the book. Okay, I'll have to flip through it, look for masturbation. Colleen, you're number one.
Andromeda Strain. It's just so rocks. I don't understand. Like, it doesn't hold up. It exceeds. It's just awesome. I love that film.
Yeah, I think it sort of falls into that same category as some of those other 70s like end of the world virus apocalypse movies.
Yeah.
The other one is
How I Long for the Apocalypse.
My mind just went blank. There was Silent Green. There was another one. It was a remake of The Last Man on Earth.
Oh, Omega Man.
Omega Man was the other one that I was thinking
about.
Oh, with
Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston, yes. Thank you. Yeah, for some reason, I sort of like those all sort of blend together for me. I don't know why. Maybe because they're so similar. Well, my number one is Westworld.
Very cool.
Yeah, I already, gushed.
Wow. Yep.
There you go.
Here I go second guessing myself again. My number one is actually Jurassic Park, the first one.
Giant
dinosaur. I just, maybe not so much for the writing as I remember when, just how amazing that movie was when it first came out, the whole impact, and so it has kind of a special place. I mean, it's not especially rewatchable, but
those raptors were so freaking cool.
That's were they in the first movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like for me, I think when Jurassic Park came out, I was still sort of in. I was more interested in the story than I was in special effects. That's surprisingly sort of changed over the years as I've become more aware of what goes into making a film like that.
Uh-huh.
But it really held no appeal for me, and it really still doesn't. It's kind of cool, but...
Yeah, it is mostly plot-driven, definitely. There's not...
You think so? I never thought so. I always thought it was more about the effects than it was about the plot. I never thought the plot was all that interesting.
That's what I kind of mean. Plot-driven as opposed to theme-driven or story-driven. People have different terms for that, so I'm still trying to figure out the correct ones. But.
And it gets bonus points because Jeff Goldblum's in it.
Jeff Goldblum, yeah. And there's a lawyer that gets eaten, you know?
Oh, that's always good. Yeah. On the toilet nonetheless.
My favorite groaner line in there is when the girl is at the computer and it's got this visual interface on it, and she goes, I know Unix!
Oh, God. That's geek talk, isn't it? No, I'm kidding. But no, yeah, it just never really did all that much for me. But I am impressed by the amount of work that he managed to pump out in his career, especially it seems to be there was a bit of a lag there where he probably concentrated more on writing books than, you know, doing movie stuff. Because it seems like there was a jump there in the 80s where he was pretty quiet on the movie front. There was some stuff in the 70s. And then again in the 90s, but not so much in the middle, right?
Yeah, and actually he's credited with doing some nonfiction writing as well.
He was like really versatile in the stories that he wrote as well. I mean, you've got some science fiction in there, some stuff like ER, which is, you know, a lot of research goes into creating something like that.
He was a med student, so that almost going back to his roots. But yeah, definitely like...
Out of the list of all the films of his that I've seen, and I think I've probably seen more than I've not seen, there's only one that really makes me cringe, and that's Timeline.
Paul Walker, man.
Oh, that was bad.
That was
bad.
That was almost as bad as Delicate Sound of Thunder.
I didn't see that.
Oh, it was pretty bad, too. Don't worry.
Also Paul Walker?
No.
Yeah. I'm the only one that's seen 13th Warrior?
Yeah, it's on my zip list. It hasn't been shipped yet.
I've seen it. I had to.
Oh,
it's
you didn't
often talked about in our my medieval society around here because one of our long-standing, highly thought of members, the late Baron Gerhard, made a lot of the props for that film.
Oh, so was that shot locally?
Yeah.
Oh, wow! I didn't know that.
It was a big deal because it was shot a Rupert or something.
I forget.
A little bit up the coast, and they literally had walls up so that people couldn't see the sets when they were shooting.
Oh, wow. And that was McTiernan that directed that, right?
Okay. Yeah, John McTiernan.
Okay.
Yeah, there's so many props from that movie in the Society of Creative Actorism around here. They just bows kicking around from that show. Like, you'd never string them.
No.
But they were all decorative. Like, let's make as many cool-looking shit that's semi-kind of vaguely accurate as fast as we can.
No one will notice.
The monsters in there were kind of a little bit lame, but overall I kind of enjoyed it as a popcorn movie.
Isn't 13th Warrior like a period piece though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Banderas, Antonio Banderas plays a Arab fellow that winds up with the Vikings.
Yeah, Daniel or something.
See, that's why I put it on my zip list.
As the 13th Warrior. And there's some, you know, rune tossing bones legend stuff happening, and he winds up going with them on this adventure to help this tribe, and it's a popcorn movie. I mean, if you think of it as historical fiction, you'll be quite disappointed.
Yeah.
Like so many Viking films.
Yeah.
A lot's taken for granted.
Yeah. Don't go as historical, but just as a popcorn movie. I mean, it was just a fun way to kill an afternoon.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm excited. I might have to move it up on my zip list a little bit.
Check your brain at the door.
You got to have some of those sometimes.
That's what Doomsday was.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Some people would disagree, but I can go with that. I concur. And that was our look at the life, sort of.
Well, that was pretty quick, but yeah.
Yeah, that was sort of just honoring Michael Crichton's work. I mean, he's fairly prolific, the guy. I'm sure he's written way more books than I'd even care to remember. But yeah, he was a very talented man, and he'll be missed, I think.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was all. If you have your favorites, actually, it'd be kind of cool to know what people think of his work and what your favorite Crichton movies are.
I would be interested. I've only seen, it's been a long time, I should say, since I saw his earlier movies, and I saw them when I was quite young. So if people have a different top three or a different top five list,
Or if they could recommend,
definitely leave a comment. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if they can recommend some of the earlier work that we sort of, you mentioned, but I hadn't even heard of, never mind seen. It'd be very, very cool. So come on by Row 3, leave some thoughts, check out the reviews and movie news that are loaded daily. There's been a lot of trailer stuff lately, too. It's been pretty quiet on the news front. Stop on by 353 Haiku Movie Review for all of your reviews in Haiku. And Dale, new content, Digital Doodles?
Oh, I'm trying,
He's trying. He's busy. I'm keeping him busy with other stuff.
Yeah, actually,
secret
stuff. I'm doing content for other people. I'm just... not getting
for other people call well, it's giving it, me the look
like Row 3.
Oh yeah, see. So until next time,
we'll see you after the credits.